Have you ever been in one of those conversations where you just know that there is not complete understanding of what you are attempting to communicate with someone? Now, that might happen, I've heard, between a husband and a wife sometimes. You know, Julie and I just celebrated 36 years together this past week. And I remember, I think it was back in year two that occurred, but she set me straight. But no, that happens between husbands and wives. It can happen between teens and parents, coworkers, bosses. It can happen in all of our different relationships. But I'm convinced that sometimes part of the problem is that we're speaking different languages even though we're speaking English, okay? So here's what I need this morning. If you were born before 1995, raise your hand this morning. Okay, look around. Okay, I'm going to give you some words. This is going to be a little bit of audience participation. I'm going to give you some words. Just shout out what you would have thought. If you can go back that far, back to the last century is what we get reminded of in our office quite frequently. What these words would have meant, okay? The word sick. Not now, what does it mean back in the 80s? Help me out. It means somebody's ill, right? Somebody is not feeling well. Stream. What is a stream? It's water flowing. Good. This may be a little harder. What was a troll? Yeah, either the doll with the hair or somebody in our office who is a little bit older than I am said it was that ugly looking monster thing under the bridge. Okay. What was a crib? Baby bed. Good. What was a web? Spider web, there you go. If someone swiped something, what was it? They stole it, good. What was a tablet? It was a pill, or according to Jim Barnett, it was that big red chief thing I wrote on in first grade. Okay, so we can even go back beyond the 80s here. What was a cap? Hat, good. If something were extra, had more of, okay, good. You'll love this one, Blockbuster. It's a place where you went to check out a movie, right? And then finally, what was a drip? Faucet, there you go. Now, we all had a common language with words that meant something. So this past Wednesday night, the youth group had their end of school party. And my friend Hannah kind of did, you know, roving reporter on the spot and asked what these same words meant. Listen and watch this video.
Here's how it goes. I'm going to give you a word and you tell me, like, for Gen Z, like, what does this actually mean? Okay, so you have to, like, translate the word. Okay, sick. Oh, you're like, yo, that's so sick. Like, that's so cool.
Like, that's so cool.
That's
like,
so dope.
Like, this is such a cool
like,
shirt.
Like, that's sick, dude. That's sick, dude. Like, sick.
Like, really cool.
Oh, that's so cool.
Stream.
Stream? Okay, the stream is like.
Yeah, it's like a live stream.
Okay.
Yeah, like that.
Yeah.
Like a live stream. Like, oh, like, I'm about to get on stream. Like, go watch, go follow.
Okay. Stream.
TikTok live stream.
Mm. Oh, I think of like the Instagram, like the stream, like my feed, my stream.
Oh yeah, like a TikTok free page for like stream.
Troll.
Oh. So trolling is like, okay, guys, I know this is in church, but like it's kind of like making fun of people.
Crib.
A house.
Crib.
Houses. Very nice houses.
Web.
Yeah, the internet.
Swipe.
Like swiping on your phone.
Swipe.
TikTok.
Tablet.
Like an iPad thingy.
extra.
Someone that's doing too much.
Blockbuster.
That's like a 1985 thing. Like an 1800s.
Yeah. Drip.
Like clothing.
Drip.
Good clothing.
Drip.
This.
Drip.
Me.
Oh, I liked it. Drip. Me. Yeah. What you missed on the Blockbuster 1985 thing, she actually revised it and said, no, that was 1800s. Okay? So, you can see that sometimes words over time change meanings. The same thing is true in our faith walk. Words that we may use today meant something a little bit, or in some cases, a lot different when we read them in Scripture. One of those words is the word hospitality. If I were to ask you this morning what the word hospitality means to you, you would probably envision inviting people into your home, sharing a meal together, having guests that come into your house, and your role is to treat them well. According to Webster, here's the definition of hospitality: generous and friendly treatment of visitors and guests. Does that sum up kind of our view of how we view hospitality? Well, this past winter, as we were going through our spiritual disciplines series on the Holy Spirit, and I wish I could have remembered who presented this lesson, but they shared what the biblical definition of hospitality truly is. And while it's similar to how we define hospitality today, there is one significant, remarkable difference. For the word hospitality in the New Testament truly means the love of strangers. So, while it's similar, do we see that there is a remarkable difference in how we view hospitality and how the word hospitality was used in the early church, was used by Jesus in talking about caring for strangers? Hospitality truly was the love, the care, and compassion towards the stranger and the outsider. That doesn't mean that we don't have to care for each other. Doesn't mean that you can't invite your friends over to dinner. Okay, there's plenty of other places where we talk about sharing meals together and encouraging one another and building each other up. All of that is still a vital part of who we are as faith-following Christians who follow Jesus. But what it stuck out in my mind as I heard that this winter was simply this. There is a difference between inviting people into my home who I know and showing hospitality in the way that Jesus talks about. Some of the same practices, it can be sharing a meal together, spending time together, expressing your love and your concern and your encouragement, but it is directed towards the stranger. In his book, The Deeply Formed Life, which is the series that Josh started here a couple of weeks ago, Rich Velotis simply says, hospitality is a holy act because it mirrors the God who welcomes and receives all, which is the practice that God calls us is his followers and his children today to emulate, to be holy people who are welcoming to everyone. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus says these words, and he's at the end of his earthly ministry in the Gospel of Matthew, and he's kind of sharing his last thoughts. And he says this, beginning in verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all of the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne, and all of the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right, he will put the goats on his left, and then the king will come and will say to those on the right, he's talking to the sheep, come, you who are blessed by my Father, and take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Let's focus in on verse 33. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you extended hospitality. You invited me in. So when we hear Jesus talking and describing hospitality, again, there is a focus on the stranger, on someone we don't know, on a person that we may know a name in some cases, or it could be a random chance occurrence. I really appreciated David's thought at the communion table today, because he talked about how God can take everyday events and turn them into eternal events. The act of hospitality can appear as an everyday event, and yet we never know when it may be eternal. But hospitality in the Bible does not begin with Jesus. Okay, the concept of hospitality and caring for the stranger and caring for the foreigner is one that was present from the Old Testament throughout God's story. Let's look at Leviticus this morning. Leviticus 19, verses 33 and 34. When a foreigner resides among you in your land, do not mistreat them. The foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native born. Okay? The foreigner, the stranger, we should treat like family. Love them as yourself. Why? For you were foreigners in Egypt. I am the Lord your God. The basis for why we're called to share and to show hospitality, to care and love strangers, it's not just because God said, you know what, that's a good thing to do, although it is. God said, you need to do this. And let me remind you why. Because you too were once the strangers in a strange land. And you can almost hear him as this law is coming down saying, you were strangers, you were foreigners in Egypt, and as my children, we're going to be better and do better by the foreigner and the stranger than what Egypt did for you. And he says, this is why, and I'm your God. So it's kind of God putting his seal on, this is how we're going to do it. So it's that concept from the beginning of the Bible through God's story, through Jesus, that showing hospitality in the biblical sense of hospitality is a core value of being a child of God. There are two key principles I want to share with you this morning as we think about what might this look like and how do we achieve this. Number one, simply, radical hospitality, and I use that word radical because it's so different for us and how we define it. But radical hospitality takes practice. Listen to Paul's words in Romans. Romans chapter 12. Beginning in verse 9, he says, Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal. Keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. And then verse 13. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Practice it. Why practice? Because hospitality in caring and loving for strangers, for many of us, is not something that we're naturally gifted at. It's something that takes practice. And even if we're gifted at it, we can become better in how we extend hospitality to people. We've had the opportunity, and I'm really excited. Just this last month, we have kind of agreed on a partnership between Preston Road and Human Impact. Many of you might remember the Human Impact organization as, you know, several years ago during the summer of service, we hosted a beautiful breakfast on the streets down in downtown Dallas. Human Impact's work has continued, and you're going to hear more about our relationship and our partnership with them and what that's going to look like in the coming weeks. But a couple of things that I have been blessed by and I have learned through Human Impact. This past winter, during the winter storm when it was so cold, one of their works was to go in their areas where they have met people and they know their neighbors who live on the streets and invite them to a hotel room where they had warm temperatures, a bed to sleep in, food to eat. And many, I believe up to, I think it was 40 to 45 of their neighbors took them up on that. One of the roles that I was able to serve was at the end of that storm, on the Saturday at the end of that, was to go to the hotel where they had stayed and help take them back to their homes. Met some really great people. People, one of the young ladies I met, 26 years old, and the only thing that, as I heard her story, was thinking, my son's her age, and what a different life they live. And yet, she was a mother. She was someone who was trying to get her life together, and Human Impact had touched her. And that was just one story of the hundreds of people that they have impacted. Back in Easter week this past year, here just a month or so ago, they had a foot washing day at Human Impact on Maundy Thursday where they washed the feet of the people who lived on the streets. And I met James, and I had an opportunity to have conversation with him. We shared a meal together. They had their feet washed by volunteers through Human Impact and volunteers who were there that morning. But at the end of that, they shared in worship together and took communion together. And so I consider the work they're doing, and here's what I know, Human Impact practices hospitality. And I'm so excited about our opportunity as Preston Road to partner with them because they can help us practice and become better at extending hospitality. But not only do we need to practice hospitality, but secondly, radical hospitality takes awareness and a willing attitude. At the end of the book of Hebrews, as the writer of Hebrews is coming to a conclusion, these words are in Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 16. And do not forget to do good and to share with others. Let me back up just a minute. Verse 2. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. For by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Showing hospitality, and some have shown hospitality to angels unaware. That seems strange to me. But yet, if you go back to Genesis chapter 18, you have that story of Abraham and Sarah in the desert, and the three guests come to them. Abraham doesn't know who they are. It says that they appeared suddenly. And Abraham extends hospitality in the heat of the day by offering them shade, by offering them water, by killing a calf and providing a meal to someone he didn't know, as the writer of Hebrews said, unaware. So we have to practice, but we also have to have our eyes open. When is it that hospitality presents itself? The opportunity to extend and or receive hospitality presents itself. Two stories. A little over a year ago, I was at Tom Thumb over on Inwood and University. And I have a habit of talking to people. I know that surprises those of you who know me. And I met Ronald. Ronald Curl was a gentleman, probably in his 70s, who collects carts, carries out groceries. And it just kind of began as saying hello, asking him how his day was. And then, especially in the evening, when the store was slower, he'd be outside collecting carts, and for some reason, we remember at 10 o'clock at night that we need things, so I'm running to the grocery store. But I would have conversations with Ronald and learned his story, that he had graduated years ago from Jesuit, has a college degree, and he hasn't shared a whole lot, but he fell on some hard times in life. And so we've shared opportunities to have conversations. We see him when we go to Angela's, don't steal my lunch place, please, after church sometimes on Sunday. He's there eating. Recently, he was in the hospital, and so had an opportunity to go visit him. And then we were walking out. Julie and I were just recently out of Angela's, and she had gone on. I was in line to pay, and as I walked out, thinking she'd already gone to the car and I was going to turn right, all of a sudden I hear my name, and she's like, Farland. And I turned to the left, and there's Ronald sitting on the bench, and he and Julie are just having a conversation. And it's just been one of those opportunities where we've been blessed. I know we have blessed him, but we have been blessed by being people who choose to extend hospitality. I'd gone to a funeral recently and flown down to Austin, and the funeral was between Austin and San Antonio, and who would have known that you had to drive right by Lockhart, right? So if you're going by Lockhart, you have to eat barbecue. Have to eat barbecue. You know, the biggest choice is, do you go to Black's or do you go to Smitty's? If you say Blacks, I'm going to disagree. Smitty's is my barbecue place in Lockhart. And I'd gotten my food. There is a line. And there were several people. And a lady was, you know, talking to me and to another guy that were in line with her. And we got our food, went out, got our sides. And I was about to sit down. And she was about two tables over. She's like, would you like to just share lunch today? I'm like, sure. So went over and visited with her and her husband are pharmaceutical sales reps who live out in Rockwall. They have an 8-year-old daughter, and she was just a beaming mom telling me the stories of what her daughter was doing in school. And she asked me about my kids and told her about Hayden and Blaze, and we enjoyed about a 45-minute lunch together, and then we left. David, those random, ordinary, everyday events where I learned a lesson that morning from her, it's okay to ask a stranger who's by themselves in a restaurant, say, would you like to join us? Okay. Simple things that you never know whether or not they will have eternal rewards. Because you never know what God will do with a seed that gets planted. Back to the story of James and Frida. They came in December, and James told me, he said, you know, we were just planning on coming a couple of weeks. Pat Schinkle had invited them to come to church after Pete had passed away. He said, we were just going to go for a couple of weeks. And then they stayed, and he said, y'all were just too nice. But then here, a month or so ago, James's mother passed away. And it went from a church that was just nice and friendly and said hello. Ed Ballard and I had breakfast with James one morning, and he said, we're ready to be members. He said, after Mom died, I received 20 to 25 cards from people at this church that I don't even know, saying that they're praying for me and that they're sorry for my loss. And he's like, we want to be a part of that church. So I want to encourage you this morning. We practice hospitality. What I encourage you to do is discover a way to take the next step. Maybe it's inviting someone in this room that you don't know to enjoy lunch together one day. Invite them for a meal. I'll invite you for hamburgers. We'll grill out at my house. You know, but share a meal. Share time together. Maybe it's going beyond that in having your eyes open to see where is God providing opportunities throughout your everyday life to extend hospitality to a stranger. And don't be afraid to do it. May God bless us as we seek to be His hospitable people in the world that we live in. Let's stand and sing.